going to talk about...
What? Moses and deliverance. So would you please turn in your Bibles or in the story to chapter 3 or Exodus chapter 1. Welcome to all those who are with us this morning, some of you for the first time. There's a little card you can fill out if you're ready to do that, but that's up to you. We'd love to get to know you. We'll have some coffee afterwards, and just grateful that you are here. We got some word this week. Some of you have heard of Piercing Word. They've been here at least twice. A group that recites scripture in dramatic ways and sings it also from memory. Amazing. Like I can do like John 3:16 and that's about it, you know. They can do huge sections of scripture. They're going to be here on Christmas Sunday, December 20th. They're going to do Christmas Through the Ages. And so we're excited about that and what God might do. So even now, start inviting people to come. But this morning we are in Exodus chapters 1 to 7 and chapters 10 to 17. And I just want to read a few verses from the beginning of this. It says in verse 7 that the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, became so numerous that the land was filled with them. And then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. And that's the beginning of this portion of the story. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we're grateful for your love for us. We're grateful that you came to this planet. Lord, we invite your continued presence this morning. Would you speak to us, Lord, as you have to your people for centuries? In Jesus' name, amen. So some of you have heard about the campground in California that was surrounded by forest fire a few weeks ago. Early in September, those forest fires were raging in California, and there's a group of people in a campground, and the fire was surrounding them and going up and going up and going up into the trees, and they thought they were doomed. And then the Air National Guard came in, flew down into the middle of the campfire and lifted them up, and they were safe. They were so excited because they'd been rescued. They were in a situation that they couldn't get out of, but they were rescued and all was well. And I wonder if we feel that way sometimes. I know I do. We may not have a physical fire around us, though there's those who do. But, you know, maybe it's a situation at work or at school or at home or in our nation, in our church. And you say, I can't get out of this thing. I'm desperate. Help! And that's what we see in this true story from the life of Moses in the scriptures. The wonderful thing that we see here is that God hears our cries for help. He hears us when we're in need. And look, think of what happened in the life of Moses. So God's people were slaves in Egypt. They had come there under Joseph, as we learned, and things had been really well. But this was 400 years later. That's like twice as far along as our country has come. It's like coming from the Mayflower to here. And here they were. Nobody knew Joseph anymore. And the Jews, God's people, had started to grow and to multiply in number, and God was blessing them. He said that this was going to be his special people that would take care of the needs, that would display his glory to the world. But they started to get so much in number that Pharaoh, who was the leader of Egypt at the time, he said, I'm afraid of these people. I'm afraid they're going to take us over. And so Pharaoh said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make them my slaves. And I'm going to have them make bricks for us. And they're going to build buildings for us. And so sure enough, God's people became the slaves of the Egyptians. And they couldn't do what they couldn't do anything for themselves. They couldn't. I can't go away from this. They couldn't do what they wanted to do every day. They had to go out and work. They couldn't have their own crops. They had to take care of these buildings for the Egyptians. They couldn't even worship their God like they wanted to because they had to keep working and working and working, and they were limited in the times that they could worship the Lord. They had no freedom. And they said, God, help us. Would you deliver us from slavery? And sure enough, the Lord heard their cry. You see, something really nasty had happened. Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, had said, we got to get rid of these people, and especially their men. And so he said, we're going to start killing their baby boys. And he started to do that. But there was one family that said, we're not going to let him kill our baby boy. Let's hide him. And so they took their baby boy and they put him in a basket, and they put it in the river. And they floated it along, and they came along every day, and they, you know, the mama took care of him. And then he started to get a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger, and he started to make some noise. You know, it's hard to keep a baby quiet out in the middle of a basket in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter came along. And she saw this basket floating in the river, and she said, there's something in there. I think I hear a voice. And she went out, and she got the basket. And there was a beautiful little boy in the basket. And she said, oh, this must be one of those little Hebrew children, a little foreign child in here, that nation, that people group that's living with us but aren't Egyptian. I want to take him back to the palace, and I'll make him my child. And that's exactly what she did. She brought this little boy, whom she named Moses, which means drawn out of the water, brought him back to the palace and gave him the best education he could have. He learned all about the Egyptian life and the language. And then his mama came along to help, and she taught him all about his own language and his own background as a member of the people of God. You see, God had heard their cry. But as he got older, he heard about these slaves that were out there. His dad was going out as a slave. And one day he thought, I'm going to go out and see what's going on. And he went out into the desert. And there were God's people, his relatives, that were making bricks. And there were taskmasters that were beating them and making them work harder and harder and harder. And he said to one of them, stop. And he was all dressed up. You know, Moses was dressed up as a man from the palace, and he thought the man would stop. And the man said, well, but I'm supposed to do this. I'm making him work. He said, tell him to stop. And they got into skerfuffle, and Moses made him stop, all right. He ended up killing the guy. And he buried him in the sand. And he didn't think anybody would notice, but word got out. And so Moses ran for his life. And he left Egypt, and he went north of the country. And there in the country, he became a shepherd. And he just farmed for year after year after year. But God's people back in Egypt kept on crying out to the Lord and saying, help us, help us, we're slaves. We hate this down here. You said we were supposed to be your chosen people. You were supposed to use us to show the world about yourself and how to live. Help us. And Moses was out one day taking care of his sheep. And there was a bush there that looked like it was on fire. And he went over to the bush, and there in the bush was a voice. There was something that was speaking to him. And he said, are you talking to me? And sure enough, the voice in the bush said, yes, it's me. It's the Lord. He said, I want you to go back down, and I want you to bring your people out of Egypt. He said, me? I'm not going back there. He said, you, Moses, I want you to go back. He said, well, I'm not very good at public speaking. He said, I want you to go back.
Well, who should I tell him should send, has sent me back to Egypt? God said. He said, tell them that I am has sent you back to Egypt. Moses says, I am, yeah. The one who was and made the world, the one who is now, the one I am, and the one who will be, the one who was and is and will be. This was a very famous name that God's people have used for centuries now, and this is where we heard about it. The Jews would call it Yahweh. They don't even pronounce it. It's such an important and sacred name. And the Lord said, tell them, tell Pharaoh that I am, that Yahweh has sent you to Egypt. Well, he went from there, and the Lord not only heard his people, but the Lord rescued his people through Moses. And that's the way that it is for us. The Lord understands our needs. He hears our needs, but he doesn't just hear them. He does something about them. And, you know, often we hear each other's needs, but we can't do anything about them. But the Lord hears, and he does something for us and for those who love him. And so Moses went down to Pharaoh. And Moses went to the head of Egypt, who would have been his grandpa. And he said, I want God's people to go. Let my people go, says the Lord. And Pharaoh looked down at him and said, hey, buddy, I haven't seen you in a long time. You're not dressed like you came from here anymore. Are you crazy? Who told you to say that God's people should go? And Moses said, I am, said that God's people should go. And Pharaoh said, nothing doing. They're not going anywhere. They're doing a lot of work for me. I got these great projects planned. Nothing's going to happen to them. And so Moses says, okay, we'll see about that. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so he started doing what we call the plagues. He started showing Pharaoh that it was time to let him go. He threw his staff down on the ground. It turned into a snake. He turned the river into blood. He spoke a word from the Lord, and there were locusts. Those are like grasshoppers that filled all of Egypt except for the place where God's people were. He spoke a word, and the river turned to blood. And Pharaoh hated it. He spoke a word, and gnats. I mean, it was just a nasty thing that happened to them. And Pharaoh started going back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, saying, "Well, maybe we'll let him go. Well, maybe not. Maybe we'll let him go. Maybe not." Kept changing his mind. And then the Lord said, "Okay, this is it. We're going to show who is in charge of the world. It's not Pharaoh, it's me. I am." He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, but before you do that, he said, I want you to tell all the people to get ready for something very big that's going to happen. I want them all to go and to kill a lamb and to take the blood of that lamb and to put it on the doorway to their houses. And that will be a reminder to me not to kill anybody in their houses because the lambs have been killed in their place. But he said, over in Egypt, he said, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to kill the firstborn son of every Egyptian, including Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh will let my people go. Pharaoh tried to kill your sons, and he did. You got away, Moses. But I'm going to take care of his son and the other sons of Egypt because I am the God, I am God, and he is not. And so sure enough, on one of the darkest nights of history, certainly the darkest night in Egypt, everybody laid down to sleep. The Jews had all put blood from a lamb over each of their doorposts. And then the Lord went through the cities of Egypt, and the oldest son in every family was dead like that. And up and down the streets, everybody was weeping and wailing and just in terrible pain. But the Lord passed over the section where God's people were, because they had put the blood of lambs on their doors. And so for centuries they've called it the Passover because of that. But Pharaoh got up in the middle of the night and he called for Moses. He said, "Moses, get out of here." Moses said, "Yeah?" He said, "Yeah, get out of here. All of you, get out of here and go worship your God." And so Moses got everybody up. He told them to be ready to go. And thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands got up in the middle of the night and they left and they started heading toward the promised land. They got to the edge of Egypt. They got to the Red Sea. And as they got to the Red Sea, they were all excited and they were finally free. And then they looked up the hill. And there, coming down the hill, was Pharaoh and his armies. And he was mad. He was hotter than a hornet. And they had the Red Sea to their back, a great big river. And they started hollering and screaming, hundreds of thousands of people at Moses and saying, "Where are we going to go? There's nothing that we can do now." They were afraid that everything was going to be over with after 400 years in Egypt. But Moses knew that God had a mission for his people, that he was going to be taken of them. And the Lord said to Moses, "Be still, and I will fight for you. And here's what I want you to do, Moses. Take your rod, hold it over the Red Sea." And that's exactly what he did. And the sea split apart, and all of God's people walked across the Red Sea on dry land. And as they got to the other side, the Egyptians came down to the edge of where the river had been. And they thought, "Okay, we'll get them, we'll get them." And Pharaoh's saying, "Go, go, go, go." And they come into the river, the Red Sea. And as they get into the middle of the river, the Lord says to Moses, "Okay, put your rod down." And he put his rod down. And the sea came back and swallowed up all of Pharaoh and his armies. The Lord rescued them. The Lord rescues us when we cry out to him as God's people. But the sad thing is that sometimes we backtrack like they did, but the Lord loves us as he loved them no matter what. You see, these were people who had struggled to follow the Lord, and they needed the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts to forgive them. As they got over into across the river from Egypt, they started celebrating, but then they looked and they thought, "Oh man, what do we got to eat?" And they started complaining to the Lord and saying, "We don't have the food that we like, and we don't have enough water, and who's going to take care of us now?" And the Lord, because of the blood of that lamb, which was a picture of Jesus who was to come, the Lamb of God that would be given, who would give his life for our sin, forgave them and gave them food we call manna. It was bread that came on the ground. He gave them birds to eat that flew down and took care of their meat like chicken. And he gave them water to drink, which he gave them out of a rock. This was all because of those lambs that were slain for them. They deserved to be punished. But the Lord had promised way back with Abraham that he was going to bless them and use them to display, to tell the whole world about himself. And so he would bless their family and multiply them in many, many ways. But they wouldn't be perfect, and they would need forgiveness because of what had happened way at the beginning of time and what would continue to be displayed in their lives. And if they would put their faith in those lambs, the blood of those lambs who had been sacrificed for them, then they would be forgiven. And the story would go on. And they, through their descendants, would tell the world of the Lord. See, it's the same for us. We are now brought into that family. And we are forgiven because of the Lamb of God. The Bible says that when Jesus showed up, he was a son of Abraham. And John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And because of the Lamb, we are forgiven. And the Lord takes us just as we are because Jesus was punished in our place. And as we receive him as the one who gave his life for us, and then Jesus comes to live within us, and then Jesus comes then to display God's life through us, to show others how to live, to show others the kind of life together and alone that would attract others to himself, then we can fulfill our mission of continuing on, which moves on to the day when everything will be made new. A number of years ago, I was talking with a young man named Billy. And Billy had grown up in the church where we were serving. He had gone to children's programs. He had put his faith in Jesus. He came to church every Sunday with his mom, who was a leader in the church. But Billy had gotten into trouble. Billy had gotten into contact with someone from another group that didn't respect this book, didn't listen to this book. A group that called themselves Christians but denied the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We would call it a cult. And they had convinced him that they were right. And so he was leaving the things of God, of Jesus, and starting to follow the false religion of this group. And his mother called me and said, "Hey, would you go and would you talk to Billy?" And I went over to talk to Billy and talked with him about the true story of the whole world that he had grown up with. And Billy started to listen. He said, "Oh," he said, "maybe you're right." And then he went back to the leader of the group and he listened to them and he said, "Well, maybe they're right." And then he came over and he talked to me and he said, "Well, maybe you're right." And then he went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Until one day, I finished talking with him. And he thought, "Lord, we need you to part the Red Sea here. If God didn't do something in Billy, I thought he was gone forever. That he would go off with this false group, an unhealthy group." And so I prayed, and his mama prayed. And you know, the Lord delivered Billy on that day. He went back and started following the Jesus that he heard about as a boy, part of the true story of the whole world, because God parted the Red Sea. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you feel like the Red Sea is behind you. You got an army coming down the hill. There's nothing that you can do to stop it. The Lord is here. And the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. I want to encourage you. I want to invite you this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer as we finish our service this morning. I want to invite you to pray and seek the Lord and his deliverance. If you'd like someone to pray for you, raise your hand or look down the pew and they'll pray for you. If you're like me or if you'd like Jeff Whitehead or one of our elders who's here this morning to pray for you, we will pray for you. If you'd like all of us to pray for you, as we'll have time, we'll all pray. If you want to pray afterwards, we'll pray. There's some things that we can do, a lot of things that only God can deliver us from. The Lord is here today. And we seek the same God who said, who Moses and God's people cried out to years ago, "Be still, and he will fight for you.